Welcome to Normal for Norway. I'm Indigo.
And I'm Seamus.
This is the podcast where each episode we dissect one weird thing about Norway.
So sit back, relax, and have unnatural relations. We are already.
Yeah.
By some cultures' definitions, maybe.
Absolutely. One of them being Norway 100 years ago. We're going to get into that because this is our pride grab bag. We don't know where things are going to take us today. But first, the news.
Yes, the news and review.
News.
Some of this news is quite old because I've been gathering it for several months, but I have quite...
You'd almost swear we hadn't released a podcast in a while.
But how dare anyone imply such a thing?
But we do have like 15 other podcasts.
Yeah.
That we record under monikers and that we will never reveal.
Yeah. Secret podcasts. First up, we have an NRK national news article about a woman who was trying to burn down an old outhouse at her cabin, but instead it burned down the entire cabin. And the headline is, was going to burn down an old outhouse, lost control.
I mean, we've all been there.
Yeah.
We've all lost control while trying to burn down a building.
I mean, the best thing is, like, she says, yeah, I legge meg flat, which is like, I can't apologize.
But sorry,
anymore.
She was trying to demolish the building.
Yeah. And so...
And is that advised?
So she said, it went very quickly. I know it's not entirely legal, but I just wanted to... And then she just sort of trails off. So yeah, the outhouse was in ruins. She wanted to burn it down to get rid of it instead of just demolishing it like a normal person. And instead she burned down her entire fucking cabin.
Wait, did a piece of like smoke or like a piece of coal?
Yeah,
like,
it was it was like windy or something. And then it's so funny.
Oh,
she's
no.
Like,
was she too ashamed to ring the
no
fire
I don't think so, but the funniest thing is she's like, we sat down to grill, it was beautiful weather and there was no wind. But then...
Oh, the wind picked up.
I guess so. And then she did call the
fire brigade, and they were like, did you set this yourself?
She was like...
First question.
She's like, yeah. I mean...
We're not coming.
But it's funny because she seemed to like take it pretty well. She was just like, yeah, that sucks. Like, I feel bad.
But was it a really crappy old cabin or like...
No, I think it was just the outhouse that was really crappy.
But her cabin, did it have a washing machine? Did it have running water?
I mean...
By the way, if you haven't listened to our cabin episode...
Yeah.
Tune in,
yeah,
because we cover all of this.
Go listen to the cabin episode.
Because I need to know, is it like a primitive cabin? Because then it's like, yeah, whatever. If it's like a bougie cabin, that's such a shame.
I mean, it's hard to tell because it's in flames, as you can tell from this photo. And like,
oh, but it looks nice.
That's the thing.
Sorry, Indigo's just showing me a selfie with this woman who, yeah, she doesn't look annoyed. She's kind of smiling with, in the background, a ruin of her cabin. It's like, you know, the meme of the little girl smiling while the house burns.
Yeah, the Norwegian.
But
version.
maybe there's something fishy here.
Well, but the thing is, if she was doing it for, you know, insurance purposes, I don't think that she would just be like,
yeah. So she's not going to get any insurance from this, right?
No, my God. And she's like reported to the police. This was months ago, though. I don't think there's been a follow-up.
Oh, I think like your punishment there is like you burnt your own cabin. It's like, you know, isn't there like a criminal justice kind of the one of the tenets of criminal justice is that you shouldn't be punished for the same crime twice.
Yeah,
she's been punished already. Well, she's been punished three times: once for burning down her own cabin, second time for shame and humiliation, and third.
Yeah.
Us shaming and humiliating her again.
Yeah. She's had enough. Leave her alone.
The most listened to podcast in Norway, The Finger on the Pulse. There's no news in Norway for a 6 month period because we can't be bothered to make a podcast.
The people are starving.
Yeah, but things go, you know, things go on.
Yeah.
People don't know what's happening, but stuff seems to work. The buses are still going.
Yeah. Next up. This was actually one of my personal favorites from the last few months. Dugnad. And we haven't done an episode on Dugnad, so we should probably just briefly explain. Dugnad is when you have like collective work that is usually for like either a school or your building, and you're expected to like clean up or like kind of all pull together.
For our Irish listeners, we have a similar concept, which is called meho.
Nice.
And it, I think it's basically like a farming thing.
Oh, interesting. Because
like mahel comes from when all the farmers would like, okay, everyone, we're all going to cut the grass together because it makes more sense to do it like as a group.
Okay, well, yeah, so that's what it is. Somebody...
burnt down.
Nah, this was in Avisa Oslo, which, by the way, Avisa Oslo, please sponsor us. And it says...
I really need to subscribe. Do they have an app? Do they send push notifications?
They do. It says it's free. Oh, wow. I don't know. I don't have the app. I just go on the web.
Okay.
But so the headline is, in disagreement about Dugnad, and then the quote, pure slavery.
Oh.
And it was a woman who wrote a like opinion piece or something, and she said, we had this in the Soviet Union. You didn't just have to show up, you had to work for free in your respective workplaces.
Yeah, that's
pure slavery, if you ask
me. She doesn't like the dude nod.
Says Evgenia Christofferson. No, she didn't like it and she refused to show up. And a bunch of, you know, obviously a lot of Norwegians were like, how dare you?
Well, I mean
she also might be Norwegian, I don't know.
Well, I do, you know, dugnad is a key, what's the word I'm looking for? I've now said it, tried to say it twice, like a principle. Principle.
Mm-hmm.
Dugnad is a principle of Norway, but you know what else is a principle of Norway? Transparency and open debate.
Yeah,
as we will learn in our upcoming discussions about gay rights and so on.
Yeah,
so I actually applaud Evgenia.
Yeah.
Because we need to be saying, is Dugnad the right thing? Yeah. Should we have a Vinmonopola? Also, tune into the Vinmonopola episode, one of our best.
Yeah, agreed. If anyone complains about the sound...
There's a lot going on here today.
Yeah.
We're at a Pride pre-party.
Yeah, there's construction outside. Our neighbors are doing some kind of drilling. Renovation. The windows are closed, so we're probably going to faint in a few minutes.
The parrots are freaking out. Did I ever tell you about the time I went into a pub and there was a parrot in there?
I think you did, but repeat it for the listener.
So we go into a very shady pub in southwest London, actually, this was. And there was a huge buffet out, but no party happening.
Okay.
And then there was this young hipster girl behind the bar, but every single client of the bar was a crusty old man.
Yeah.
And we were waiting for our chicken to be cooked. Anyway, we go in and we're we had a theory that she was a vice reporter undercover in this bar to write an article because she was so out of place and crucially didn't know how to pour a pint.
Ugh.
Suspicious. And we were like, oh, what's the buffet about? She was like, oh yeah, we had a party in here last night and they hadn't cleaned up the buffet. Like it was chicken nuggets and chips and stuff on this huge big trestle table. Anyway, then there was another room adjoining the main room of the pub, and in there was a parrot's cage with a parrot sleeping, two parrots or parakeet, I don't know, but you had to traverse that room to go to the toilet. And so when I think obviously the locals know the rule, when you go through the room, don't turn the light on because it's going to wake up the parrot. And it had a long night last night, it was a party. But somebody turned the light on, and then obviously that's cue for parrot to wake up. And then it just started screeching. And the craziest thing about this story is, obviously, there's a Instagram called Shit London Guinness, where this guy goes around and documents all the terrible Guinnesses that you can get in London. Because in fairness, of all the pints, it's the one that can just be abused to such a degree. I think maybe because the bubbles aren't normal pint bubbles, they're those creamy ones.
Mm.
So it's just basically all these yeah, there's weird stuff going on. Check out the Instagram. It's good.
Colonialism.
Yeah. But this one, she poured us a pint of Guinness, and I swear to God, it was pink. We don't know to this day. Because
did
you
take a picture?
If you hold Guinness up to the light, it's ruby, actually.
Yeah.
But this was we weren't holding it up to the light, but it was glowing purple. It was very strange. So, yeah, we were sitting there, parrot screeching, purple pint.
Buffet.
I didn't eat any.
Good. You probably would have gotten.
I was hungry though because we were waiting for our food.
Oh my God. I can't believe you ate in that establishment.
No. So we were getting this. There was a place called Lebanese Grill, which was amazing. Oh. And they would charcoal grill this whole chicken thing. Me and my flatmate were obsessed with it. But you couldn't really sit in. And it would take ages because they did it with such laborious care.
Oh,
how
wow.
They charcoal grilled this chicken. And then we just went into this local pub. Like, we never in a million years would have set foot in that pub. It looked dodgy. Like, I couldn't have imagined from the outside what it was going to be like inside, but I definitely didn't have good expectations.
And you weren't surprised at the situation that you found.
I mean, I can't say I wasn't surprised. I was shocked. But yeah, shocked, not surprised. In shock.
Distinctions have to be made. All right, two more news stories shortly. This one comes from my colleague Helle. Thank you, Helle. She sent this to me ages ago. It just says, this plastic box is the school library. And it shows these two sad looking students. They're just holding plastic.
Whoa, the one on the left box looks so pale.
Yeah.
Emily Wednesday Adams.
Yeah, very pale. She does not look happy. This was in March, in fairness. So winter. Okay. And yeah, basically, like, they just don't have a library and they have to put their books in a plastic box.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't get that story.
I don't either. It was a bizarre story.
And also, I can see you, like, scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. Are they writing about?
I never, like, they just, like, got rid of the library and then it just says every class gets a box with books.
Well, what did the library turn into? Maybe a solarium. So she should look a bit happy.
It says they just didn't have enough money. Sad. The community didn't have enough money.
But I don't get that. But like, the thing is, what is the room? Like, why did the room being there and being a library cost money? I think
they just,
money?
Maybe they can't, well, there has to be a librarian probably. So they just don't have like one kind of like dedicated area.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is disgraceful. Like, you have so much oil money. Let these kids have a library.
Yeah.
Not a plastic box.
No, I know.
It's a conspiracy. We're going to take away your library, and then you're going to need to buy plastic boxes, which is made from oil.
No, exactly.
But you're not going to get any of the oil money to have your library. In fact, your librarian, she works on an oil rig now.
Yeah. That's probably true. But apparently they get new boxes every 2 months, so there's that. New boxes of books.
Oh, I was like, how flimsy are these boxes?
But also, it's like, how does that not cost money as well? Like, I don't know. None of this makes sense. Whatever. Moving on.
Listen, we're not here to give answers. We're here to ask questions. All of our listeners, like, scratching their heads.
We need to get someone to follow this up. Who wrote this? Ulda Bjørnes Hanslien.
Okay.
Ulda, we need
answers. Yeah, we're going to reach out.
Yeah. Final and actually queer... gay related. So this is very on topic, and that can be a segue.
Yeah.
It says, and this was also Aviso Oslo, this area is known for public sex. Now the kommune is going to clean up the forest.
Oh.
Did we talk about this one before?
Where is it? Is it Svartkulp? Oh yeah. I've never been there. I actually haven't. I've heard it's nice. No, because I think we talked about this.
And it's like, Tømmerkjøring, Sørfold, Svartkulp. Yeah, we talked about it.
No, or maybe, yeah, I've seen that article for sure.
We talked about this IRL. But yeah, basically the city planning commission, or what? No, it's not commission. It's like the department. They have their fall plans for 2023 and, or like their chopping Høgstplan. Chopping plan and 2024, and it says that they need to thin the forest because that's like they take care of the forest and they have to thin it. And one of the areas is Svartkulp, and it's like this area is known for so-called cruising. And then the article talks about what cruising is and like how all the gays are having sex in the woods.
But is that going to interfere with the cruising?
Well, that's the thing, is some of the people they interviewed were like, oh, this is not good or whatever. But then they did ask the department, like, does this have anything to do with that? And they said, no, it has nothing to do with that. And then they said, what do you think that like cruising could become less discreet if the forest is thinned?
And they're like, we want that.
And then this is so funny. They're like, the forest in this area varies from very like tight forest to some open forest. By thinning it, the variation will be a little more open and there will be more light and give more opportunities for new trees to grow. Like, they just completely dodged the question.
Yeah, I thought this was like, there'll be more light so you'll be able to... Yeah, I was like, oh.
Maybe they're like, we support voyeurism.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, yeah. But no, I don't think that actually it's targeting gays.
No.
But
there was also, because Svartkulp is one of the nudist beaches of Oslo. There are... three, maybe. Because there was an article in the newspaper sorry, last article that we will mention about all the nudist beaches in Oslo, basically like giving people a guide of like, how do you go to the nudist beach and what do you do? Because it's like Svartkulp, Hook, oh, yeah, and Langøyene. Mm. And then they like had all these like top tips. And like one of them was like, what do you do if you get a boner kind of thing? And then they were like, lie on your front or conceal it with a cushion or something. All these poor people going to the nudist beach for the first time, like packing a cushion in their back. That's how you know it's a newbie.
Yeah. I always bring my cushions.
Aye, aye, aye.
All right. Well, that's all the news. That's everything that's happened in the last 6 months.
Yeah. Well, speaking of gay cruising, we're talking about, it's Pride this week. In Oslo, there's a lovely park, or like a, yeah, Pride Park.
Yeah.
It's basically a free festival. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah. And it's a lot better this year. They've really upped their game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they move it for security concerns?
No, I think that maybe they were going to move it anyway because it's just gotten so overcrowded.
Oh, okay. Because
before it was downtown. If anyone knows in Oslo at Spikerskipa and Nationaltheatret, then that was the area. And it's kind of like also where the Christmas like festival is. But it's actually not a very big area.
No, and it's kind of just, no. I thought yesterday was amazing.
Yeah, so.
And someone was like, oh, one of our friends said like, Oslo Kommune should like give the gays some money this month because it's like Pride Month. And I was like, in a way, they do because they throw us a free festival.
Yeah.
And apparently it's the largest Pride in Scandinavia.
Really?
Yeah.
God, that's amazing.
I don't know what largest means. Most people in attendance. There seems probably to be like a lot of tourists in town. I don't know if it's for Pride because Alex and I are having to stay in hotels intermittently because they're doing works on the railway at night, even though the works like don't ever seem to be happening. It's like some kind of conspiracy. Mm. But this week they were like, oh, we have to like split you across two hotels because it's so busy with Pride. And gosh. But it's good for us because when it's busier, they put us in fancier hotels. Because I think like the cheapest ones are like sold out. So then we were staying in the Bristol, paid for by the railway company.
So in a way, yeah, Oslo Kommune is like, they're throwing you a free festival. They're putting you up in a nice hotel.
Yeah.
They're getting you a free breakfast. Like,
yeah,
they are giving you freebies this month. Thanks, Oslo Kommune.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Raymond Johansson.
No, but what I was thinking is we could talk a little bit, like we don't really have that much of a roadmap today, a lesson plan.
Yeah, which we're known for having. You know what, people, I just want a side note, people are always shading us for like not having a very well-organized podcast, and they're like, oh, you don't even do
research. Are they? I've never heard that feedback.
I think people are meaner to me than they are to you. Maybe I need to start like slapping them.
Because... No, but you know what someone said to me recently? Seamus, you surround yourself with yes people and you don't want to hear constructive feedback.
Who said that?
Amy Murphy. Don't know if she listens to the pod or not, but I mean obviously then she got the biggest retribution you can ever imagine and she's now turned into a yes person, so maybe that's part of it. Maybe I can't take criticism. Indigo's looking at me is telling someone that they can't take criticism a criticism? Because if it is, shut your mouth. I can see all my friends just like nodding along to this part, being like, whoa, self-aware at least.
Anyway, moving on.
But what's the feedback?
No,
sorry.
They're just like, oh, hi, do you do research?
It's do you do research?
I'm like, obviously, I spend so much time doing research. Oh
my
god,
okay, while we're coming for all of our friends, one of my other friends said to me this week, twice, to not wear a tank top to our other friend's wedding. I'm like, I am so offended that you feel the need to give me that advice.
Who was that?
Kira Green. Oh
my god.
Is that your cat? Is the cat here? Is it your cat or your boyfriend? Who can say? Okay, so people are basically asking if we research. Well, we do, because actually...
No, we do. We actually do.
Yeah.
And I don't appreciate that.
I have researched this one. It's just, it's not very well organized, like how we're going to present this information. But what we wanted to start with was to talk about the decriminalization of like same-sex sexual activity.
Yeah.
But actually, interestingly, lesbian sex was never criminalized.
Yeah, and that's like one of my favorite quotes, which is that they were talking about how in 1902 they were discussing this, whether like how they were gonna prohibit yeah, gay sex, basically.
Yeah.
And then apparently they debated whether it should include women.
Yeah.
And then Gunnar Grorud, yes, from the Conservative Party, I'm quoting from the Parliament's website here, tabled the proposal because he said that, he's the one who put the proposal, like, yeah, table
that is should include, yeah, women.
He was like, we should include women because indecent relations are equally abhorrent. But then Ole Anton Kvam, the Minister of Justice, said, and I quote, sexual relations between two women? Have you heard of such a thing? It is in the realm of the impossible.
But, like, I don't understand, like, what is that mindset that he had? Like,
I think that...
Is it just that he thought that women literally don't enjoy sex ever? It's just that they do it to, like, appease their husbands. And so, therefore, sex is not something that women want. So why would two, yeah, women have sex? Is that the thinking?
Okay, I feel like it could be that. But it also could be... I know that there are so many Western countries where two women having sex was not even really considered sexual. Like, there were... No, but there were women
who... We're not having sex. We're just having sex.
But it was, like, women who, like, yeah, would live together or, like, yeah, have sex and be a couple. And then people were kind of just like, oh, they're...
Yeah,
they're,
I think, like, women friends could get away, like, with a
they
lot
just like
more
to sleep naked together.
I mean, even in our own lives in microcosm, I remember, like, in secondary school, for example, if two girls kissed, it was just kind of like, yeah, whatever. But if two guys kissed, it would be like, oh, they're gay. Do you know?
No, so, yeah, I think it's still true. Yeah, and
but
it's like,
but your man Kivam, like, that's something else, because he's like, is it in the realm of the possible?
But
maybe he,
I mean,
only,
yeah,
also thinks of sex as penetrative. Like,
yeah, that too, maybe. Yeah, yeah. He's just, he literally, his tiny heterosexual brain couldn't even comprehend.
I mean, is he heterosexual though? We don't know that.
Yeah.
He, but also his surname basically means nauseous.
Yeah.
Spelled slightly differently.
Yeah.
So you make, yeah, me nauseous, Kivam, with your anti-lesbian sentiments.
Exactly.
But
yeah,
okay.
No, I think women just, like, get desexualized in a way. So.
Yeah. Okay, some facts and figures.
Yeah.
So it was 1902 when it was introduced into the Penal Code. So that's when these debates were happening. This regulated sexual relations between men and imposed a maximum penalty of imprisonment for up to 1 year. I mean, it's harsh, but it could be harsher.
Yeah.
You know, it could be the death penalty. And then basically they various proposals to amend this were put forward over the years, but it wasn't until 1972 that it was finally repealed.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously this repeal was very important.
And I think I saw that, was it 119 men were actually convicted under the law?
Is, yeah,
it's like,
I have some, like, facts and figures about, like, under Nazi... Yeah, it was 119 individuals were convicted and sent to jail between 1902 and 1950 under a law that was abolished 22 years later on April 21st, 1972. And yeah, and actually how this point came up was... maybe we won't, like, go into it that in that much detail today, but there's, like, a whole kind of history of, like, the gay oppression under Nazi occupation, because the Nazis came here and they were way more strict on gay stuff. So apparently, like, the way that this law was worded, so the if indecent intercourse occurs between male persons, those who have committed to or have been accessory to such intercourse are liable to a term of imprisonment up to 1 year, or are accessory. I'm an accessory to the crime.
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean? I gave him his number.
Yeah, I was like, I've been accessory to,
yeah,
many.
You should be locked up for decades. Any person who conducts indecent intercourse with animals or is accessory to such intercourse is liable to the same sentence as just defined above. But then it says, indictment will only be conducted when necessary, yeah, by public consideration. So basically, yeah, they said, like, yeah, look, if it's not causing a moral outrage and you're just quietly, like, having sex amongst yourselves,
mm-hmm,
it's fine. So it was very rare that it would actually come up to court, because it was like, they didn't really, apparently it was kind of like they were so ashamed to even talk or think about it, that they were just kind of like, oh, just don't, like, let's just, yeah, not bring that up.
Yeah Well, and one of the things that, because last year it was 50 years since the decriminalization, so it was kind of like a big celebration year.
Yeah.
And the Prime Minister gave an official apology on behalf of the government. But one of the things he acknowledged in his apology, which I think was important, was that it wasn't really just the law itself and the people who were convicted that were affected. It was more about creating a stigma And that it was because it was illegal.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, and I mean, it's the same even today where, like, there are a lot of countries where it's not, like, it is illegal maybe either to have gay sex or maybe, like, get married.
Mm.
But actually in practice, it's really kind of, quote, acceptable. Like you wouldn't get necessarily arrested.
Oh,
but there's
yeah.
a lot of social stigma anyway.
But yeah, so, and then basically under Nazi rule... the only, because like the confusing thing is like there was Nazi occupation, but like they still kind of kept a lot of the Norwegian law, so it wasn't like wholesale we're just going to import every single like German law. They kind of kept, it was sort of like this mixed yeah. like legal system. And so basically the cases of people getting convicted under Nazi occupation were all cases of like Nazi soldiers or like people that worked for like the Nazi kind of state apparatus.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, getting back to the actual decriminalization. So, yeah, it happened in 1972, which is, like, quite cool. Or, like, was it 1973? No, 72, because it was 50 years.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Ireland didn't decriminalize it until 1993.
Wow.
Yeah, so, like, I lived 2 years of my life from 91 to 93. I mean, not that I would have been doing it at that age, I suppose. But, like, kind of, like, freaky to think of it, like, in... modern yeah. memory, like yeah. And yeah, again, you're right, it's like I've never really heard of any cases of people being prosecuted, but like it obviously has such a chilling effect.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But what was the law that predated this? So it was like, I can't remember, but it was yeah something to do with like unnatural relations.
Yeah.
But there, I have a story which is quite gas of a peasant widow.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Called Simonetta Voll.
Yeah,
she was from Rødøy, and this was in 1844. And sorry, so she was charged with conduct against nature. So this was in 1844. So there's a long history of like the state getting all up in your business in relation to like who you're in bed with.
Mm.
Yeah. But the case was basically that she was roiding her maids Olava Nilsdottir and also her former maid Brigitta.
For people who don't know Irish slang, riding is,
but to me that doesn't even feel like slang. Is that not perfectly understandable to any person? What would you think of as riding, like a horse?
I just would never say it, so it's like when I first heard it I was like, what?
To be honest, when I was in England and like I would meet people and they would be like, yes, me and my mother and all my sisters, we ride.
No.
Yeah, but they mean like they do horse riding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yikes.
Yeah, I would just be thinking, you what? But yeah, so basically she was kind of known around the town for carrying on with her maids. And it was...
Her maids, not her mates. Her maids.
Her mate. N-A-I-D-S.
Like, I feel like it's a little sus. Like,
yeah, I mean, Simonetta definitely, you know, there's like a question
power
mark.
Balance.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So yeah, basically what happened was the priest went to her and was like, Simonetta, like, I know what you're up to and like, it's disgraceful and you need to stop that. And like, she was like, would you not ride your husband? Cause she has a husband.
Oh,
she had a husband.
Yeah.
She wasn't always a widow, of course. And she was just like, no, I would rather die than do that. Like, she was just very balls to the wall. Like,
yeah,
I'm a lesbian. Like, I'm not going to stop doing this. Like, and then, you know, in my dramatic reenactment, which is coming out later this year, a one-man show touring Norway.
Seamus and Simonetta.
Yeah, like taking on and off really cheap wigs.
That's what you do like every Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. I have a back catalogue. She was like, stop me. And then he was like, I will. So it was sort of like, you know, a fight of the wills,
oh my
if
gosh,
you will.
This is waiting to be dramatized.
I know, right. So he does, and he basically brings her like to the High Court, like the Supreme
yeah.
Court of Norway at the oh time or whatever. And it's like, this one's a lesbian. Some witnesses even claim that Simonetta had an abnormally large clitoris, which was a common belief at the time that women who had sex with other women had an enlarged clitoris that they used for penetration.
Yeah, see, they just couldn't understand sex without...
No, right? It was, yeah, very based on that.
We need to call in some actual historians at some point, but whatever. I'm being armchair
yeah,
historian.
So
today.
The thing is, the conduct against nature law actually specify that there had to be penetration for it to occur.
Mm.
So this is what they were trying to prove.
Oh.
They were trying to be like, well, she has this like abnormally large clitoris. They got a doctor to examine her. The doctor was like, no, it looks normal to me. And then also there was a rumor that like she had some kind of dildo contraption that she used to like penetrate them, but they never like could find that, and they also could never find any evidence of it. So then they were kind of like, crap, we don't really have a case here. Like, in
but what about fingers? Nah, like that wouldn't count.
No, apparently not. That's good. So point funny. You should have been the prosecuting lawyer.
Never.
1844, in a previous life you were,
oh my god,
working in the Supreme Court. Yeah, and so, but the beauty of it being 1844 was that they couldn't prove it. So they're like, okay, you actually did, you don't like kind of qualify for having committed the crime of like conduct against nature, because we cannot prove that there was any penetration.
Mm.
But we're just going to convict you anyway. Because there was like some little thing in the law that the judge could just be kind of like, yeah, but actually I just really want to convict you.
Oh my God.
So she was convicted anyway, and she was sent to jail.
Oh no.
In Trondheim for a whole year.
Oh my God.
I think it, yeah, her sentence, Trondheim Penitentiary. And I think it was like not only jail, but you know, like labor,
oh,
like
no, that she had to like be. That's the worst.
Yeah, really bad. But she went back to her village after that and lived until she was 94.
Oh, good for her. Yeah. How old was she when she went to jail?
Okay, so I have a feeling she was like in her 40s. Because I think it was like kind of like 50 years after that she died, sort of thing. And then both the maids went on to just get married to men. And presumably nobody ever talked about that whole story again. Or you probably, like every time probably a visitor came to the village, be like, oh, that's Brigitte over there. You'll never guess. What? I wonder though, when you went to court like up in the big city, did they put you up like in the Bristol Hotel? Maybe they had a fabulous time.
Oh my gosh, I want to know all this stuff.
I know, right? You're a historian.
Yeah, I should do a master's, I mean a bachelor, no, what am I saying,
yeah,
a PhD.
So
pending, somebody should pay me.
But yeah, since the 70s then it's been all plain sailing.
Yeah,
fabulous. And then in 93 they brought in, they were the second country in the world to bring in like civil partnership after Denmark, always following the big brother.
Yeah.
And then in 2009, they got, no, not 2009.
2008, I think.
Sometime in the like early 2000s.
Gender neutral marriage.
Yeah, yeah. Gender neutral marriage.
Yeah. And the law that, there were like several laws that predated the 1902 law, but the one that you were talking about with unnatural relations was the criminal code of 1842.
Can we blame that on the Danes then? Like,
or no, or... Sorry. The unnatural relations actually was King Christian V's Norwegian code of 1687. So 1687, they were like, unnatural relations, capital offense, not okay.
What? And where, then, where does it come from? Is it
it was the Christians. It was the Christians, of course.
Okay, yeah.
It was the Christian law of the Gulatin code of laws. It's Norway's oldest known body of laws. I'm quoting again from Stortinget.no. And then, yeah, and so then in 1842, they had the new criminal code, same prohibition, but they worded it. It was hard labor, 6 to 12 months. And the wording was
hard labor.
Relations which are against nature shall be subject to hard labor to the fifth degree. And so that's what Simon Lette was convicted under. And then in 1902, they got the new one. And that was the updated one, but it was only for men and bestiality. Yeah.
God, such a weird and funny debate to be having. And I also can't believe that the not believing in lesbian side won.
Yeah. They're like, that's not real.
How far we come. Now we know that those lesbians are some of the most deviant people in our midst. But nice.
Yeah.
The Pride Party's starting in 8 minutes.
Yeah.
So we'll leave you there to mull all that over.
I'm sure we'll have more at some point, but that was just a little teaser. Yeah.
I have loads more to talk about the gay thing because I've done all this research.
This gay thing.
Riding.
Riding.
Okay. See ya.
Bye.
Slay.